welcome here. Welcome to those who are new. Hallelujah. God is great. God is mighty. We worship you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Just stand up together. We're going to start this morning with praise and worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise your name, God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. So much for me. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell you.
Render to Jehovah, for he has Oh,
the Lord. God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. We hold fast to him. We hold fast to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. There is a name I love to call. It stands alone and conquers all. And every chain and every wall will be released and have to fall. Hallelujah. Thank you. sing Yahweh.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 We are thankful, Father, that we can come before your throne room and recognize that we are protected, provided for, directed, propelled in the pathway of supernatural favors. We worship you, Father. We magnify your glorious name. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us and that your glory is revealed in us even now. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you for access to your presence. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Mama is not with us this morning. She has a cold that she is beaten down. And but I have a hoarse voice from preaching for 8 days straight. But that's not going to stop me. Amen. And we're going to hear the word of the Lord today. But this morning, I would like to invite Pastor Henry Edonije, a great man of God, to come lead us in our time of prayer. And then I'm going to come with the word of the Lord for us this day. Pastor Henry.
Just I thank God for this morning, for his grace, and for his marvelous works. The children need to come. We'll pray for them to go to their Sunday school. Father, we bless you for our children and for their teachers. What you have laid in the hearts of the teacher this morning, that they will be able to deliver them for the children. We bless them. We honor your name. We thank you for this hour and for what you are going to do in their lives. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. We ask that your blessing and your grace and your love and your compassion will flow through the teachers, will flow to the children, that we all learn together something about you that is so wonderful and deep. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. You can go. We don't have a regular pamphlet that we always look. Okay. All right. Okay. So we want to thank God for providing all these gadgets that we can look at. All right. I just want to praise the name of the Lord for Pastor Maria. She does that every morning without even thinking of it, because it is ingrained in her spirit. She just comes and does that. But for someone else to come, he will have to, because the person has not been doing it. It's not in him, but God can do anything. So we'll pray for our school trustees, the government, the province of Manitoba, chief of police, fire chief, and civil leaders, national focus, Israel, Canada, Nigeria, USA, and our Peguis Nation and Germany. So those are the people we'll be praying for today. So let's pray for this individual nation, individual people, the government, and the prime minister, the nations of the world, Israel, Jerusalem, and so forth and so on. Father, we ask your blessing on these individual people, on this group of people, on the government. We ask you to come in your great strength and power and minister love, peace, and your deliverance to them. The ones that are facing adversity, the ones that are facing a situation that is even greater than them, that your mercy by your spirit will come to them and will give them the ability to decipher, to come around and find grace in that situation. We thank you. We bless you. Lord, we also want to thank you for the nation of Israel. We commit that nation into your hand. The Prime Minister Bennett and Naftali and the Minister Benny Gantz and the rest of the ministers, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask that your grace will be with them. You have assigned the mighty angel Michael to oversee your people. And so no one can destabilize or move them from where they are. We thank you for the strength, the mighty power that you have vested on the Archangel Michael. We thank you for Jerusalem. We thank you for the people of Israel. We know that you have chosen them as your heritage, and you will fulfill that which is concerning them. We thank you, Lord, for Nigeria. We thank you for USA. We thank you for Canada, our parliament, the prime minister. We pray your blessings on these people. They are trying to do what is best for the nation. Lord, we pray that They will know you. They will come to understand, except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain, they build it. We ask for your grace. We ask for your wonderful love. We ask for your interest in this matter. We pray also for our nation. We pray for the nations of the world. We ask that your name will be glorified, that they will understand that you are the one who made the world, who fashioned the world, and that you have given them opportunity to respond to you and to your Son. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We have not read the scripture, but the scriptures have been read through us. We just bless your name. We thank you for your word that will come, and that we will be enlightened. We will be endowed with a fresh manner from on high through your Son. Lord, just endow him. The things that you've given to him to share with us today, that they will come forth, they will flow from his spirit to us, and that your name will be glorified and your people will be blessed. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Henry. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a summit gathering that the Lord has captioned partnering with God. God is calling us into a partnership. That's an honorable and privileged place. That God will invite us to participate in anything he's involved in is incredibly important. And I am deeply thankful to the Lord that this is the word and the calling he has for us to come into partnership with him. But partnership, while it has many benefits, has its own cost. The Word of God says to us in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If God is calling us to walk together with him, it is because he also is demanding agreement. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament not to mix materials. And the idea is not about the fabric itself, but that certain things don't mix. When God calls us to relationship with him, he expects us to fit properly. Our thinking needs to change. Our approach to life needs to change. Our attitudes change. our understanding changes. Meaning then that we cannot act like ordinary folks. The Word of God says in Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. He will do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God will do nothing in the earth. For the heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. The devil, hear this, the devil is not in control in the earth. The control that the devil has in the earth is the control that man has by his actions released to him. The devil became the god of this world because he stripped by deception that position from man. God made certain that the ones that should be in charge in the earth have this thing called physical body. So for the devil to operate in the earth, he has to work through somebody. He has to come into partnership with somebody. He has to come into agreement with somebody that lets him come. For God to work in the earth, God has to find somebody. May that somebody be you. May that somebody be me. Amen? Yes, God can do whatever, but he put some parameters because he knew without those parameters, the devil will run rampant in the earth and destroy at will whatever it is he wants. So he put that limitation. But when he put that limitation on himself too. And so God is always looking for a man. The Bible tells us that he is seeking. Just as much as we seek God, God is seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. May God not look too hard because he finds that person in you and in me. In this last of the last days, there is going to be a great battle. And the battle has already started. If you don't know, and God is about to use people that in the natural are unqualified, but recognize that though they may be weak, God is strong. God is not partnering with strong people. He's partnering with people who understand that without Him, they are nothing. When you think you are somebody and you're so qualified, you disqualify yourself. Because just like He said to Gideon, you've got too many people. Got 32, whatever thousand? Too many. Tell everybody that wants to go home to go home. And they all went. And God still said, you got too many. Because if I win this battle with the strength you've got, you're going to take credit for this. You're going to become arrogant. And I hate arrogant people. God hates pride. He brings down the proud and He elevates the humble. The humble man is the man that comes to God and recognizes this to be true. Watch this. This is important. Humility is an act of faith. Faith in God. Humility is an act of obedience. Recognizing that what God says is the truth. And I align myself with the truth of God. That's humility. And that agreement is an act of faith. Are you with me? When you are not humble, you are always contradicting God. You're always acting disobediently. You always have an attitude that discounts what God says or reinterprets what God says, misrepresenting God. That's pride. Humility says, I don't understand why you're going this way, but because you say so, I go your way. I will agree with you. In other words, humility acknowledges the lordship of God. You are Lord. And those are not just words. Because some people say, Lord, Lord, but don't do what He said. If you're acting in disobedience, you don't know His lordship. When you know His lordship and you hear Him say, jump, you don't even ask how high. You jump. Praise the Lord. To act outside of faith. And the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that God is. That God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Not just seek Him, but diligently. Why diligently? Because sometimes God plays hide and seek. Look at Listen, when you pray and you receive nothing, an unanswered prayer, God is wanting you to diligently seek Him. God, I prayed. Yes, you did. I didn't get the answer. What are you going to do now? I quit. No, God, I seek you. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. If I'm doing anything wrong, I thought I was doing all the right things. But Lord, even if you don't answer, I still love you. I still will pursue after you. Oh. Now you're in the right place. Now you're really hot. Now you really eye threat to the enemy. Because now your serving God is not about what you get. It's about knowing Him. Because until your relationship changes from give me, to I love you just for you, you're not there. You will fail. You will betray yourself. You will compromise yourself because your pursuit is not after Him, it's after things. And so God, are you listening? Will deliberately, and you've heard me say this before and I'll say it again, will very deliberately disappoint you at some point in your life. It's very intentional. And it's the most loving thing He can do for you. Why would you say God will disappoint me? It's only temporary. Get off. Because if you break through that seemingly disappointing experience, you will see the other side of God, because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He rewards. In John 11, we told the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Bible tells us that Jesus had just left Bethany. Then Bethany, they tried to stone Him. They tried to attack Him and He left town. But He had this friend that was sick, called Lazarus, in Bethany. It's the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And the Bible says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment. She gave the sacrificial gift. She gave her all and wiped His feet with her hair. Whose brother Lazarus was sick. So we know that Mary was a giver, and she has a brother called Lazarus, and Lazarus was sick. But watch this. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Huh? Now, this is John. John is the disciple, the apostle, who laid claim to the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now he's talking about Lazarus, and he's saying the same words about Lazarus. This is competition here. Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. Oh, sukhi. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha, loved her sister, and Lazarus, and hammered down. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Talking about disappointments. He loved him. And he didn't immediately say, Lazarus, be healed. He could have done that. We know about the centurion. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. No, he stayed exactly where he was. And when Lazarus was all dead, stone cold dead, stiffened up, Jesus says, let's go. What? What are you thinking? So when he shows up, Martha says, if you'd just been here, my brother won't have died. You can sense a tinge of offense there. Just a little bit. But the Lord says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he's died, yet is he going to live? Martha leaves, gets the sister of Martha, Mary, and Mary comes and restates the same thing. Interesting, because Mary is the one that spends time at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of the Lord Jesus, and she says the same thing. Like Martha was busy serving, who got rebuked, you know, Martha, you concerning yourself with so many things. Mary chose the better part. And here's Mary, who's supposed to be the word-filled person, saying the same exact same thing like Martha. Why? You know, generally you want to blame Mary for acting that way. But when you think about it for a moment, she had more reason to ask the question. So why? Because by now she knows what the capacity of Jesus was. And for him not to play and match up with her belief, that's a disappointment. The deeper you come into God, the deeper your disappointment. You see, if you didn't believe and you got nothing, at least you have something to go back to and say, well, I really didn't believe. But if you believed and things go sour, now what's your excuse? You've done everything and you still got the same result like the other guy. Why am I serving? What did I do this for? Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. The challenges of life. Why is this so important? Because the seed that God sowed was his agape love. That's the love that loves you in spite of whatever it is you did or did not do. And every seed must produce after its kind. So if God sowed agape love into you, the harvest he must get back from you is agape love. God, in spite of whether you did something or didn't do something, I love you. Ah. That's a place of true maturity. Am I looking for disappointments? No. Disappointments hurt. But disappointments, D-I-S, appointment, brings you to the place of T-H-I-S, appointment. This appointment. That which is appointed to you becomes a place where if you break through it, you come to a place where the abundance of God flows into your life and you are overwhelmed by the goodness of God and have not room enough to store it. More than enough. But what are we talking about right now? As important as it is, it's only true for those people who pursue after God with all of their heart. The commandment is, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your will. And the second is like the first. Love neighbor as yourself. The challenge is this. If I love me, do I want pain? I don't think so. But if there is no pain, you have leprosy. If there's no pain in life, you are not protected. If I feel no pain, I'll put my hand in flaming fire, burn my hands up, and feel nothing. That's what leprosy is all about. Pain has its gain. Yes, it does. Pain. I don't want it to be my friend, but it's a friend that I cannot do without, because it's about life. Loss becomes a blessing, because sometimes until you lose something, you don't know how valuable it is. May God help us not to lose big, or rather, learn how to appreciate by losing very little and say, I didn't know I needed that pinky that much. You don't know what the role of your eyelashes are until you lose them. Everything in your life is important. But the greatest of importance is God. You must not lose God. No matter what. You must not live your life without God. I remember many years ago, I had picked up an offense. I've told you this story before. Somebody said something. I heard about it. I'd given so much. Mom and I had given so much of our life to ministering to this individual. And they had the audacity to say, he has an accent. I don't understand him. At 3 a.m. you're calling me and I'm ministering to you. But now I have an accent because your problem is better now. And I picked that up as an offense. Until one day, I found out that not only as I had in myself, because I came to the conclusion, I'm tired of these Christians that I give my life to, ministering to them, and they maltreat me. That's about the same time, you know, the church gave me a Christmas present. They gave me some toolbox. I said, look at these people. Give me a toolbox. What do you think? Think I'm going to go out fishing out there in this cold? Give me a toolbox. Red toolbox. I think I might still have that toolbox. Hallelujah. So, you know, you get offended by something, but you really didn't know you got offended by it. And things were piling up. You're just piling up. It's piling up. Piling up. Until I came to the conclusion, these Christians, these church members that don't care about what I eat or drink, don't care anything about me, give my year to them, give my life to them. It was Christmas time. They didn't give me nothing of importance. Say, Pastor, we really appreciate you for giving your time. Your voice is hoarse and you still came out to preach the word to me. I really appreciate you. Why am I going to give myself to them? If I see the devil dragging them down the street, I'll say, I hope you get out of that mess, but I'm not going to pray for them. Well, I was the one losing. Because there came the day that was so hard, I could not hear from God. I could feel nothing. Nothing. I could feel nothing. Feel nothing. How are you going to partner with God when you have no feelings? When your high priest is the one who has all these feelings. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He's gone through all of it and is able to minister to you from that place of understanding. How are you going to minister to people when you don't understand what they're going through, what their pain is, why they're struggling the way they are struggling? I remember we had a council meeting. It was actually at the home of the lawyers. And I said to the board that evening, I said, I need you guys to pray for me because I feel nothing. So they prayed. I went home, got in bed, and I said to Mom, I said, something is wrong. I feel nothing. My feelings are dead. Thank God, God was able to bring me to that place of awareness. I was still reachable. And with her back turned, facing the window, she just touched me like this. She just touched me. And as soon as she touched me, something broke. Something broke. Pow! I knew I had just been delivered. That week I was doing a broadcast on television on then the Vidian station. And that particular broadcast was called Message of Deliverance. This was shortly after Jimmy Swaggart had gone through his crisis and he was bawling on television. And so I was ministering and I started talking about the people of God. And all of a sudden, I want to start bawling for Christians. My eyes were welling up. I said, Holy Spirit, don't you dare make me cry here. Don't make me a Jimmy Swaggart in this television right now. Please don't do this to me. Thank God he was merciful. He helped me. Because if I had started, it wouldn't have stopped. And I said to myself that day, never again am I going to entertain an offense. Never. Oh, I can get angry, but I tame it right away. Bang! You're not taking me there. Oh, because I know what I lost when I accepted an offense and I lost the presence of God. Then I'm going to let you, Pee Wee Herman, make me lose contact with my father? We're not doing that. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. You want to take my house, my car, my everything, and think I'm going to get offended? Sorry, we've gone past that. Because greater is my relationship with the God of my salvation than whatever it is you think you're going to take from me. We're not doing that. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Oh, you don't know what he did to me. He cheated on me. Oh, yes, he did. Does he feel bad? Absolutely. Bad enough for you to be so offended so that you lose connection with God? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing should cause you to go in a direction that will cause you to lose out on God's best for your life. Hallelujah. It is crucial. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, connecting with what we talked about yesterday. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Paul is writing and he talks about the relationship of believers with God. It says here, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Pneumaticas, spiritual people. But as unto, he says, carnal. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. Spiritual people are people who are led by the word of God. And therefore, as sons, but as unto sarkikos, carnal, flesh, meatheads. That's what it is. Even as unto babes in Christ. Oh, now I'm just a baby in Christ. Oh, that's not a good thing. Because that means that you're carnal. And Romans 8 tells us, and I'll come back to this passage again, but Romans 8 tells us, starting to read from about verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. If you're carnally minded, you have death. The wages of sin is death. So a carnal-minded person is a sinner. But to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind, a carnal-minded person is enmity against God. You're an enemy battling against God. Carnal-minded people are fighting against God. They are enemies of God. But if carnal-minded people are equivalent to babes, then I'm certain that God didn't give birth to you to be his enemy. That makes sense? So you were never born again to be a babe. You are born again as a son with the capacity to be led by the Spirit of God. Says an enemy of God. Why? Because he is not subject to the law of God. They are not humble to follow the word of God, to be obedient to the word of God. It says, and neither indeed can be. In fact, for a fact, you can't. You are in your sinful nature, and as a sinful natured person, you cannot walk in a pleasing way with God, which means you cannot walk in faith, which means you cannot walk in true love. Therefore, an enemy of God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, this is interesting. Therefore, when God gave birth to me, he gave birth to me and gave to me all the faith I need. Wow! All the faith I need to live life to the full, God gave to me when I was born again. So Romans 12 says to us, he says, we must not allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. Therefore, brethren, Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or the least you can do. And be not conformed. Don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, show forth what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How? Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, pride, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly in humility, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Woo! Interesting. So faith in God is what causes me to act in humility. Because faith in God is coming into agreement with what God said. Not what I think, not what I think or see in the natural, or perceive in the natural discussions of life. What is God saying? And I must understand that the way God thinks is not the way I think. His ways are higher than my ways. Do I have any clue on how much water is in the ocean and in the seas? And what kind of creatures are in there? Do you have any clue on what's in our galaxy and in the multitude of galaxies out there? Do I have a clue on what is happening in the earth? What's going to happen tomorrow? Do I even have a clue of what happened yesterday? I'm so limited to what I know. When God is saying something, I have the audacity to question it. What do you know? God says, I'm going to meet this need. I say, hey, yeah, right. Right. By tomorrow, this time, there's going to be so much food that you won't know what to do with it. Get out of here. Not possible. Here we are eating donkey head, and some people are even eating, cooking up their own children and eating up their children because there's no food, and you come in here and telling us there's going to be so much food. What are you talking about? Did it happen like God said? I don't know how God is going to meet the needs in your life. I don't know what he has to pull to make things happen. But what I do know is this. He's more than capable, more than able to do it. Hallelujah. And if he didn't do it, he has a better reason. Oh, the days when we drove down in the neighborhood that we lived in, right there in Dufferin, and we saw the little dingy houses around there, and we said, oh God, if we can only get one of those houses,
Oh, what a joy it would be to be a landlord. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. I'll be paying mortgage for some useless house. God had, he had. He said, but I'm not going to answer it the way you want me to answer it, because if I answer it that way, I'm not a good God. I hope you didn't miss that. That when God says no sometimes, it is no because whatever it is you are asking, it's not going to showcase him as a good God in your life. And people who are operating in the flesh do not understand how awesome God is. They're so committed to their psychicos, flesh, carnal-mindedness, that they become enemies of God, resisting the purposes of God. Not flowing in the integrity of the wholeness that is in God, the God we love and the God who loves them. When we walk in carnality, we begin to compete with each other, strive. You begin to take sides. And so it was with the Corinthian church. It's interesting to me that the Corinthian church was the most messed up church. But this was a church also that had so much spiritual giftings. So what was the problem? They had all these giftings, but they allowed themselves to become carnal, because their focus was no longer on him, the author and the finisher of their faith, but on their surroundings. And the worst thing we can do as believers today is to look at what's happening in the world, look at what's happening in the news, look at what is happening in the politics, look at whatever it is that's happening all around us, and lose sight of him. We must not take our eyes off of the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if we are going to be like him, we have to look at him and be changed into the same glory, from glory to glory to glory. Looking not to the author and the finisher. Just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. What is he saying? What is he doing? And imitating him. Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be followers of God. Follow God. You in school? Follow God. You in business? Follow God. You working for somebody? Follow God. He says, whatever it is that you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. That's what spirit-led people do. They want to help other people succeed. I don't care whether my name is on the billboard. I just want to make sure that God's name is exalted. When I'm giving unto the Lord. I'm not giving unto a man. I'm giving unto the Lord. Let God do what he needs to do with what I'm given. Hallelujah. If I were not a pastor, I would not know really how much it costs to run a church. And during this pandemic, there's so many people who did not stay faithful in their giving. And they thought, well, because I'm not there at church, there are no bills. That's carnal-mindedness. Because the reality is this. You know in your own personal life that that house still needs to be heated up, whether you are in that house or not. During the pandemic, our cost of doing ministry went higher. It didn't go less. The only thing that we didn't pay more money for was water, because none of you were here flushing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But the lights were still burning. We're still doing services. And in fact, not only were we doing services here for the people to see on the other side of the screen, we were doing crusades. We're doing all kinds of other things. And the cost was just what we had heard from God. Don't take a dime. That's when the systems of the world side come in to bribe us. To the extent they wanted us bribed to make sure that we become a COVID center, you know, to get everybody inoculated, and we'll give you money. Good, bad, or ugly, I'm not going to make guinea pigs of the people of God. People have the right to make their own personal decisions on what they need to do. And I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and not by my carnal flesh, based on the pouring into the mold of this world. I have to hear from God and do what God said for me to do. Now, what God said for me to do is what I got to do. You got to do what you got to do. And I'm not going to make you do what God said I should do if you have not heard from God what God is saying for you to do. Because the same God can say two different things to two different individuals. Yeah. He can say to one person, get married to that person. And you can say to another person, I don't want you getting married. So you got to listen to God. Because carnal-minded people don't have that capacity. But spirit-led people have the capacity to hear God and obey. There's an old hymn I love so much. It simply goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. How deep is that? What is God saying to you to do? God gives you an instruction. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Because they are not accountable for that word that God gave to you. You are. Carnal-minded people are enemies of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, that's a good sign of carnality, being envious of other people. There is strife. There are divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? As men. Oh, interesting. So, if I'm born of God, God doesn't see me as a man. I wonder why. Because he is the Father of lights. He is the Father of lights. And if he's a Father of lights, then he gave birth to light. And there's no variableness, no shadow of turning, no twistedness about him. Of his own will begat he us for every good, watch this, every good and every perfect gift, James, proceeds from the Father of lights. Every good and every perfect gift. So what does God say about you and I? God says about you and I that we are a good gift. Someone say, I'm a good gift. You know, gifts are given away. Ooh. You don't buy a gift for yourself. It's not a gift. You just are trying to play games with words. A gift must be given away. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. And John 3 says, that which is born from above is above all. Ooh, wow. And cometh down from the Father of lights. You came down. When you got born again, you came down from above. You are not one of us that are born again of the Spirit of God. We're born in this earth realm. You were not. You just thought, I was in Winnipeg in front of that pastor, and that's when I got born again. No. Faster than the speed of anything, God took you to heaven, birthed you in the heavenlies, in the kingdom of God, and dispatched you right there to the earth at the same time. Pippa. That's why you can't be an ambassador. You cannot be a Canadian-born citizen and be an ambassador in Canada. It doesn't work. You can be an ambassador in the United States, in Jamaica, in Israel, in Nigeria, somewhere else, but not in Canada. You cannot be an ambassador of Canada and be a Canadian citizen. Not workable. You were born from above, and you came down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. When he gave birth to you, there were no mixtures. There was no defilement. In fact, you were born again with an incorruptible seed. Is that the word of God? Yeah. And watch this. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us. What is it talking about? It's simply saying to you and I, that good and perfect gift is not the car. It's not the house. It's not the business. It is you. It's me. You know what just happened there? God gives credit to us for something he couldn't even take credit for. For he's the one who said to a man, nobody is good but God. Huh? Jesus, good master. No, don't call me that. Nobody's good but God. But right there, he says that you are good and you're perfect. And then you want to tell me, I'm just a baby Christian. I'm a carnal Christian. Shut up. That's an insult to the word of God. God says, I give birth to you perfect. I give birth to you and you're good. What am I supposed to say? I'm God's good and perfect gift, a blessing wherever I go. I am God's chosen to bring healing and deliverance to the masses. I am the anointed one of God, and the anointing of God is flowing in me and through me, and it's destroying yokes and removing burdens. I have the perfection of God flowing in my life. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the truth. The uncompromised truth. But this is only possible if we rightfully, skillfully use the word of God. You're not going to be a partner of God if you are not using skillfully the word of God. And you're not going to be a partner of God if you're carnally minded. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. Not everybody says I'm saved is saved. Because the only way you can get saved and born again is by hearing the word of truth. And that word of truth says that we are a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Praise the Lord. Jesus being our master first fruit. And now he's saying, I want you to represent me. You're my hands. You're my feet. I work in you and through you. Paul goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, we are co-laborers with God. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3. For all the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works, man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. There's a reward because you build and write. Why is it that we're able to build with him? Because verse 9 tells us, for we are laborers together with God. You know, a few days ago, we put out our promo on Facebook, and somebody made a comment, said, challenging the idea of being partners with God. Wow, that is incredible, partners with God. What is the scripture for it? I wanted to respond, you know, and the Lord says, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. The fact is, from Genesis, when God said to the man, what's the name of that? What is the name of that? God was partnering with man. When God says, replenish the world, God was partnering with man. It's all through the scripture. And yet Paul puts it right clear, for we are laborers together with God. But ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. But we're helping. We're coming alongside of God. That's what I'm doing this morning. Bringing an awareness of who and what God says we are. So that we are all coming together into the knowledge of God's truth and becoming more aware of the greatness of God in our lives. That I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody in God. Not because of my own individual strength, but His strength and His ability. I love how Paul concludes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He, the second to the last verse, because this church were busy, you know, taking sides. I like this minister more than this one. I like this one. Oh, this is a real man of God. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm part of this one, this church over here. And this one is over there, and that's one over there. And that's, Paul said, which one of us died for you? We didn't die for you. None of us qualified to die for you. Nobody, no matter how good they were, is qualified to do what Jesus Christ did, not Moses. Moses was a murderer. Was it David? David was the same, an adulterer and a murderer. What, Elijah? The guy that was busy running away from a Jezebel? That one? Elisha? Oh. The one that was busy healing everybody but died sick. And his dead bones raised somebody from the dead. I don't know. Who is it that you can look at? Abraham? Oh, yeah. There's a Hagar. Who of all the patriarchs and all, everybody, put all of them together, nobody qualified to pay the price for your salvation. So taking sides, what does that do for you? And Paul basically just says, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas, meaning Peter, or the world, watch this, or life, huh? Or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. All are yours. 23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Paul, what did you just tell us? Paul just simply said, listen, don't kill yourself about stuff, people or things. Because ultimately, everything belongs to God. So if everything belongs to God, pursue after God. Pursue after God and everything is yours. Amen? And if you had a reason to doubt, don't. Because God has everything and is capable of doing anything and everything. So, chill. Don't worry about it. Let's trust God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we'll build on this truth in the days following all this month we have given to the Lord. Every evening we'll be gathered here at 6:30. And tonight I will continue to speak to us. And then tomorrow we have a very dear son that I'll be introducing to you for the first time. And he's going to be a blessing to us. We have these sons all over the place. And gifted men and gifted women. Anointed of the Lord. Who do not live their life based on sight, but by faith. Hearing God. Men, women of God that pastor mega churches. And if you were to ask them, who's your spiritual father? Oh, Bishop Mike. How did you come to that? God told me. It is not by what you see in the natural. It is by the grace of God that we stand. Amen? We will not compromise the word of God. We will declare what God's word says. The Bible tells us about Ezra, that Ezra was a man skillful in the word of God. And says that babes are unskillful because of a lack of use. You got to take a hold of this word of God. If you're not going to be carnal, it's going to be because you're allowing the word of God to speak directly to you. No matter what it is that you're studying in life, your profession, your calling, number one call is to know God and to minister His word. We all have one calling, knowing God and minister His word. Even Solomon in all of his glory said, I'm a preacher. So to not be carnal minded means that you're obeying that call to spread the good news and see the captives set free. Rise with me. Father, I count it a privilege once again to be a voice. Your voice to your people locally and globally. I ask, O God, that the words that have proceeded forth out of my mouth today cause us all to be empowered beyond measure empowered to live life to the full, demonstrating the reality of who you are. I humble myself before you and declare your lordship. So it is all that I've heard today. Let your hand rest upon every one of us. And having been empowered by the anointing of your presence, may we testify and may we demonstrate that we belong to you. Make us effective practitioners of faith, walking uprightly before you and blessing your holy name forever. And all of God's people together in agreement in Jesus' name said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our givings. Let's honor God by showing to Him our appreciation. And the information for you to be able to disperse your givings will be on the screen for those who are online. You know, you can do your e-transfer, you can send a direct mail to the ministry, you can go to the website if you are in a different nation, and on the website you will see in the gloryandpeace.com website, you will see the donate button. Make use of it and make your donation that way. And may God bless everyone as you seed for your need. Amen? Seed for your need. God is a God who multiplies our seed sown and will cause us to experience His abundance and grace us with His righteousness. Hallelujah. So come quickly, honor God, and if you don't have your communion element, please raise your hand and you'll be served by the ushers. This is the body of the Lord. The Lord didn't say, this is like my body. He said, this is my body. And today, as we take of this body, let the full impact of what He meant when He said, this is my body, be manifested in all of our lives the way it ought to. In Jesus' name, take and eat. The Lord says, this is my blood, the blood of my covenant with you. Calls it cup blessing. As we take off this cup, let the blessings of God profusely impact every area of our lives. Let the challenges that we face or have faced or are facing be reduced to naught because we plead the precious blood that puts at bay the spirit of the destroyer. Take of this cup and drink. The word of God says that when the children of Israel took of the Passover, there was not one weak nor feeble person in their midst. We declare that there'll be no feeble nor weak, impoverished or defeated individuals, because the grace of God through the workings of the precious blood of Jesus Christ and this table of covenant causes us all to be repositioned in the place of greater honor to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we call it so done. And all of gospel together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, bless you all. Oh, say hand.